I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Find the time to explore the mind of a stripper.
And you can find the time to spend with your actual family.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk.
Damn! What they on? All steroids and no carbs? Them some thick-ass kids.
This is Prime Time.
We're not like you. We're grown-ups.
Your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Oh, my goodness.
Here are Isaac Ropp and Jason Sakanek with Prime Time on 1080 The Fan.
Yes, here we are at 4:07. We've got our stock watch next in the news. H5A5. You know the routine. It's Monday, but you already knew that.
I do. I'm familiar with Monday, which comes after a Sunday.
So that's why we're here. It's Monday. So
we had football on Sunday, hence today being Monday. At some point, like I said, we need to dig into this, but I wanted to look up the numbers. So the NFL cap, basically every year raises about $10 million, and you factor that in when you're working your roster. Right, you know that each year you're going to have $10 million more than the year before to play with, and that's just pretty much standard. You know, some years a little bit more, some years a little bit less, but you just figure $10 million. It's going to drop this year by $22 million. So when you consider the fact that most people already had budgeted in the $10 million, we're talking about a $32 million drop, basically, in salary cap. And you start looking at what $32 million buys you from a roster. This is going to be a game changer for some teams, especially teams that are filled with veterans. The franchise tag is going to be interesting too, because teams are going to be a lot less apt to go ahead and slap that franchise tag on there. High price guys too. And if you're a high price veteran and you aren't performing, you are going to be taking a salary cut, or you are going to be finding yourself on the open market. And when you do find yourself on the open market, there's not going to be big money awaiting you. So this is just something to keep an eye on as we move past the Super Bowl and we look forward to next year. And you're talking about dynasties and keeping teams together and all this and that. $32 million buys you a lot of players, because you can take a guy, you know, that's a solid starter / borderline Pro Bowl player, and he's making anywhere from, you know, let's say $6 to $10 million a year. Or you've got a handful of starters that are making, you know, let's say $4 million a year. Start doing some math. You could be talking about eliminating, you know, anywhere from 4 or 5 pretty solid contributing players to borderline stars on these teams that may have to go, depending on your cap situation.
All right. Well, as always on a Monday, we're behind. Tampa, Green Bay, we haven't talked as much about yet. So in the interest of time right here, we'll just address Matt LaFleur's little hiccup.
I call it the most cowardly field goal in the history of the NFL.
See, I thought McDermott was worse.
No, I see. To
you
me,
you thought LaFleur was
I
worse.
I thought that was the most. And Aaron Rodgers agrees with
you
me.
You thought LaFleur was worse?
Absolutely.
Aaron Rodgers doesn't want to be in Green Bay anymore. And I believe, and some of this may just be, you know, it's stings, but my God, you there's what, 2 minutes and 30 ish, 2:20 left, and you're down by 8. And you decide that on 4th and goal from, was it the 7 or 8 yard line?
I think it was the 8 yard line.
It was the 8.
With Aaron Rodgers, and you've got Tom Brady in that offense on the other side, and you've got your 3 timeouts, which I understand maybe that's what he was thinking.
And the 2 minute warning.
And the 2 minute warning. You decide.
Tampa helped you on that, though.
Yeah. by that weird slide down. But you decide at that point that you're going to kick a field goal, which, by the way, you still need a touchdown to win the game.
Basically,
the idea that your defense is going to stop Tom Brady when all he needs is 2 first downs to make the Super Bowl is idiotic, especially when you have the MVP of the league, Aaron Rodgers, only needed to get 8
yards. And worst case scenario, right? You don't get it. Worst case, they get it at the 7 or 8 yard line. Then they're pinned. And by the way, do you think maybe they might be conservative coming out of that end of the end zone and you've got the 2-minute warning and your 3 timeouts? Worst case scenario there, you're in the same situation. You still need a touchdown. I guess you still need the 2-point conversion. But my God, you've got Aaron Rodgers and you say at that point, no, we're going to kick the field goal and then we're going to rely on our defense, which Tom Brady, with the exception of the interception, had shredded for most of the game. And I think Tampa Bay, I got to look this up. I want to say Tampa Bay was converting third downs at like a 70% clip.
Yeah, it's that whole, again, it's that analytic we talked about with the McDermott thing. It matters who you're playing against. That is such an important part of these coaches making these decisions. Because if you're playing against freaking, I don't know, give me a bad offense.
Yeah, Cincinnati or whatever.
Yeah, you're playing against Cincinnati, you kick the field goal there, and it's like, we'll be all right. I trust our defense. You're playing Tom Brady, you're playing freaking Patrick Mahomes. These coaches, it's just so dumb. It makes no sense. Let me just tell you what LaFleur said. Do you want to hear his quote?
Yeah, well, I heard it, but go ahead. But it's not going to change my opinion that it's the most cowardly field goal of all time. By the way, 9 of 14 on third down, just in case anyone was wondering. You weren't stopping him.
So here's what LaFleur said. We don't have the audio clip, but this is his quote from ESPN.com about kicking the field goal there. He said, yeah, anytime it doesn't work out, you always regret it, right? It was just the circumstances of having 3 shots and coming away with no yards and knowing that you not only need the touchdown, but you need the 2-point conversion. The way I was looking at it was we essentially had 4 timeouts with the 2-minute warning. We knew we needed to get a stop, and I thought we were going to have a stop there at the end, but we got a called for defensive pass interference, and it didn't work out. I think anytime something doesn't work out, do you regret it? Sure, but we're always going to be process-driven here, and the way our defense was battling, the way our defense was playing, it felt like it was the right decision to do. It just didn't work out.
You chose your defense over the MVP.
Yes.
I mean, it's that simple.
There's just no other way around it.
And that's a stupid choice.
And I loved at the end when someone asked Aaron Rodgers and he just said, not my call.
He said, it wasn't my decision. He said LaFleur gave him the option to call the previous play on third down, a play that resulted in a scramble and a throwaway when Rodgers might have been able to run it. So Rodgers said he might have called a different play if he knew LaFleur was going to opt for a field goal.
Yes.
So that's the thing. He said, Rodgers, do your thing. That was the play where Rodgers, well, it looked like both plays, Rodgers, the second down and third down, he could have run.
He should have run it on the third down.
He would not. First off, yes, he should have run.
He threw it into double coverage.
He was not going to get it into the end zone.
No.
In case you were wondering.
Those guys are fast.
Yeah.
And he's not.
Mr. White there runs about a 4-4. Aaron Rodgers does not. So he would have gotten it closer. And that's the thing that I ponder. Had it been fourth and goal from the, let's say realistically he gets to the 3 because he's not outrunning Devin White. Not happening. If it's 4th and 3, does Cowardly McCoward then choose to kick the field goal? Or does he say, hey, no, we're on the 3-yard line. We're going to go. Aaron Rodgers should have run. But
Sean McDermott would have kicked it.
Yeah.
I think Matt LaFleur would have gone for it if he was on the 3.
I think so too. If you look at the replay, I was looking at the replay this morning of that play where Rodgers threw it into double coverage instead of running it.
Yeah.
If you look at his head, it looks as if maybe he doesn't see the area over there. Like Rodgers is looking for pass. He's looking to get it in the end zone. And it just kind of looks like he never looks right to see how open it was, which
the seas had parted.
Yeah.
All right. The defenders left the area.
Right. But it looks like he doesn't see that. He's looking at his guy. He's watching his receivers. And so, I don't know, just go back and watch it. And it looks like his head never really gets over there to see, oh, hey, I could probably run this in.
And it is easy for, the armchair warriors to say, how could you not see that? Well, you know, there was other things going on. Well, he was looking for someone. And again, I'm telling you, he is not outrunning.
Right. But here's the thing.
To the pylon there, but it would have been close.
The thing is, what's interesting to me, and again, this is totally second guessing one of the all-time greats in a split second decision, right? So it's like, I have no idea how quickly he processes all this stuff, but I was a little surprised that if he did see that he had a running lane, that he still chose to go there with the ball.
Yeah.
Right? Like Aaron Rodgers can squeeze it in anywhere, mm-hmm. and that's probably what this is like the guy sees a glimmer of light, and he's like, I can put it in there. But boy, looking back on that play, it sure looks like a desperation heave.
He basically threw it into the ground. Right?
Well, he tried to squeeze it in there, but it was double cover. Like, that was a really tough play. I can see if it's one of those plays that looks like, you know, he looks like he can hit that and it doesn't work out. That's one thing. But it just didn't look like he could hit that.
No.
But I'm sure Aaron Rodgers, you know, has had a million of those where it looks like he can't hit it.
That was like a Josh Allen throw right there. Hey, there's a guy over here, and maybe I'll try not to get it picked off. Okay.
Well, and I'll say,
which leads me to believe I don't think he saw the running lane as much, but
look, there wasn't anything that really looked particularly good in those three plays. You know, there just wasn't, and maybe that
give Tampa credit,
and maybe that's what led to Coward McCoward deciding to kick the field goal there, because it wasn't like, I mean, shoot, you had a touchdown and a 2-point conversion dropped, flat out dropped in that, but. You know, that was earlier in the game. That wasn't like, oh my God, if we just would have done this or that. There wasn't any sort of great momentum going after those three plays, but still baffles me that he decided to kick a field goal in that situation.
Like, you feel like if he runs it and at least gets it inside the five,
you would hope.
Rodgers can, I mean, that's his bread and butter.
Yep.
He's going to get it in from there, you would think. I think that he was going to get it in from the eight if they went for it on fourth.
I just don't understand why you don't live and die with number 12.
Well, again, it's young coaches, right? Like, I mean, Bruce Arians got a lot of crap this year.
Yep.
And I remember you calling him crappy because, you know, they kept trying to throw downfield with Tom Brady and this and that. Well, look who's in the Super Bowl. You know, like, I think the guy should get a little credit. And I also think there is something to coaching experience at this stage. Bruce Arians has been here before. Remember, he was coach of the Cardinals when they made the Super Bowl. And Andy Reid's been here a billion times. I think that gives Andy Reid the balls to run that play with Chad Henne,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Whereas McDermott and LaFleur was here last year. McDermott hadn't been in this spot. Those are guys that, you know, I just don't think we make it seem so easy when you get into these spots. Coaches can choke too.
Yeah.
And some of that comes from lack of experience, whereas the old veteran guys got it done. The young guys didn't. And we're sitting here debating how dumb the young guys are, right? Nope. I mean, they both screwed up, McDermott and LaFleur.
All I know is Dan Campbell would have gone for it, and then had they not gotten it, he would have bit off someone's junk, and they still would have won the game. So,
then you have Shanahan, you know, last year getting to the Super Bowl and taking some heat after that game. Yeah. It's interesting to me.
Well, and Andy Reid, like you said, Andy Reid right now is considered this greatest thing ever, but when he was in Philadelphia, there were plenty of people that were pissed about Andy Reid's decisions, especially clock management.
Yeah, I remember that.
Well, that's even reared its head with the Chiefs, too. And that only recently went away.
A little bit, but it seems like he's kind of shrugged all that off now. Funny what happens when you win a Super Bowl.
And someone's saying, gee, a slot receiver instead of Jordan Love would have been nice.
Well, somebody, who was it, the Pro Football Focus guy?
Yeah.
Put out a tweet. Mike Renner was who it was, and he said, 2019, 13-3. Lose in the NFC title game. Offseason, don't draft a single player who can start. 2020, 13-3, lose in the NFC title game.
Yep. So, I mean, if you're
Aaron, there's a lot of truth to
if
that.
If you're Aaron Rodgers and you're tired, I totally get it. You want to force your way out? I totally get it.
All right. That is it for that game. We'll get more into that game in the 5 o'clock hour. There's plenty more to chew on. And we've got a pretty tantalizing Super Bowl matchup. But next in the news. No, next, Stockwatch, then in the news on The Fan.
It's primetime Stockwatch. What's all the hype? Are Isaac and Soup buying it or calling BS and unloading it fast?
Sounds to me like you guys are a couple of bookies.
Is the hype accurate or a bunch of hot gas? Before you buy or sell, listen close.
It's easy to grin when your ship comes in and you've got the stock market beat. But the man worthwhile is the man who can smile when his shorts aren't too tight in the seat.
Primetime Stockwatch is brought to you by 1-800-DIVORCE. When you need to take stock of your rights, 1-800-DIVORCE is on your side. Call 1-800-DIVORCE today.
By the way, correction. I've been corrected. Bruce Arians, not the coach of the Cardinals when they made the Super Bowl against the Steelers.
Oh, it's Ken Whisenhunt.
That was Whisenhunt. Yeah, Arians was the OC. I think he might have been the OC at Pittsburgh that year. But Arians' point is Arians, experienced guy in Arizona. He was the one. Remember that game with well, with Rodgers and the Packers, when he was with Arizona, that Rodgers hit, I forget the receiver, but Rodgers hit a guy at the end of the game to send it to overtime. Do you remember that? That was against Arizona and Bruce Arians. It was in the playoffs. I think it was divisional round. And Arizona won that game. That was Bruce Arians. Arizona won it in overtime. And then they lost to Cam Newton and the Carolina Panthers in the NFC Championship game. But again, point is, Bruce Arians, more experienced.
He is a two-time Super Bowl champ. He was the OC for Pittsburgh in both of their both their Super Bowls.
Right, but he was not the coach of the Cardinals for that.
That was Ken Wisenhunt.
That wild game against Ben Roethlisberger and the Steelers. All right, it is time for Stock Watching. The news is next. Here is Mike.
There was a couple of times where he extended the play a little bit, maybe too long, instead of throwing the ball away. Josh is a heck of a competitor, and so I love that about him. I think he'll continue to take more steps now being in this setting tonight, and that's why it's so critical we were in this setting. Certainly wanted to win.
There is Sean McDermott. He says he wanted to win, but then he kicked two field goals when they had chances to score touchdowns. So I don't know if I believe him, but he's talking about Josh Allen's performance, which was a bit of a regression yesterday from what we've seen all year from him so far. So buy or sell, you believe next time the Bills get back to a game like this, Josh Allen will perform better?
Yeah, I think Josh Allen is going to get better. And they kind of alluded to this in the broadcast, too, is that he is just now figuring out what this is all about. He came into this league so very raw, and you saw it at Wyoming. You saw it the first 2 years. He wasn't good. And then this year, he made leaps and bounds. So as long as Josh Allen continues to put in the work in the offseason, and as long as he has this good collection of talent around him, and they'll get a better running game, I would assume, right? They'll get Moss back, hopefully improve the O-line a little bit. He's got a nice collection of receivers. There's no reason to think that Josh Allen won't continue to get better. This isn't him hitting some sort of plateau, one would think. This should be Josh Allen just now starting to learn how to be an elite quarterback. And I think I hope that the future is bright, and this is just the beginning.
Yeah, what am I buying again?
Thanks for listening. Buy or sell.
I forgot.
When the Bills get back to a game like this again, Josh Allen will be better.
Yeah, I buy that. I think that it's a process. This is one of the reasons I liked Kansas City in the game is we were talking about this with coaching. Experience matters. I think the Bills, I don't know, you don't just waltz into the Super Bowl. It's not easy. And I think you have to learn how to win playoff games. You have to learn how to seize the moment. I think it's all a part of the process. And this was... You know, there's no different for Josh Allen. That was a juggernaut they came up against. You know, that's the best offense and coach in the league. So they were going to need an extraordinary performance. And I definitely think Josh Allen will be better the next time around. But you got
to
remember,
he didn't try to throw it behind his head, though, so that's an improvement.
That is an improvement. And he wasn't that good the whole playoffs.
He just ran backwards 40 yards twice.
I mean, their offense was not that great the entire playoffs. So it's a different level. And he found that out. So I would assume
Got to get a run game.
If he's smart, he will be able to learn from that and get better.
It's a tough journey to get here. So to go on the road and win another road playoff game is just a great achievement. And, now home Super Bowl for the first time in NFL history, I think puts a lot of cool things in perspective. Anytime you're the first time doing something, it's usually a pretty good thing.
There's Tom Brady after the win. You know, people were starting to say Tom Brady was showing signs of his age this year and last year, but yet here he is once again in the Super Bowl in the first year with his new team. Buy or sell, you can see two more years of solid Brady in the playoffs, potentially to the Super Bowl performance is coming.
Look, at this point, I'm not betting against betting against that guy. I do know this. Father Time is undefeated, and eventually it will catch up to him, right? Something, he'll just turn to the dust like that guy, the Nazi at the end of Indiana Jones. Like, he'll just melt. Eventually his bones will just disappear, but until I see it, and when it happens, it will probably be sudden, kind of like we saw with Peyton Manning. But yeah, I mean, he doesn't get hit a bunch. He's got a good collection of talent around him. Yeah, why can't he get another year or two?
Yeah, you say 2 years? I'll buy that. I'll take 2 years. I mean, he's 43 right now. He turns 44 in August. That means what? He'll be 45. You know.
Yeah.
Still slinging
it
around.
2 more years of Super Bowl runs.
Winning Super Bowls.
44 and 45.
Well, I think a lot of it too. You know, a lot. I think it's an oversimplification to say it's just Tom Brady. Anywhere he goes, he's just going to go to the Super Bowl. Tampa did a good job of supplying him with quality weapons and putting good guys. I mean, that is a damn good defense. Like, they're the best rush defense and one of the best pass rushes in the league. So, they, you know, he has a really good team. And because of that, yeah, I think he could. He's going to decline, as you said. But at the same time, look at the Saints and Drew Brees declining, and yet they still get into the play. Now, it's not to say they're going to win Super Bowls all these 3 years, but he's got another crack at it this year. And yeah, I think 2 more years of being a really, I mean, he's Tom freaking Brady. Like, you want to play him in the postseason?
No.
Doesn't mean you can't beat him. But yeah, I don't see why you wouldn't see 2 more years. The guy never gets hurt. You know, he's never on his ass.
Nope.
You know, he's got great players around him. He'll be fine.
Well, and I think this is one of the things that Rodgers was pissed about, too, is you look at the way Tampa has drafted and then going out and getting Leonard Fournette and getting Antonio Brown, and Aaron Rodgers is sitting around being like, what, me? Anyone? Can we do some of that? Mm. Like, there's a sense of urgency in Tampa that you got to put something around him to win
right now. Yeah.
You know, and you look at drafting, you know, Tyler Johnson, and you look at drafting Tristan Wirfs, and you go out and get Fournette, and you know, I think that it's got to be really frustrating for Aaron Rodgers to feel like he doesn't get that same sense of urgency that Tampa gets with Tom Brady.
If I'm other teams, I'm knocking down the Green Bay Packers' door trying to get Aaron Rodgers, especially if he's disgruntled, especially if Aaron Rodgers says, I want to leave. What Aaron Rodgers did this year was make them feel like, you know what? What we did was okay. He's been a great teammate. He's been a great leader. He had an MVP season. So maybe we can run that back again. Aaron Rodgers is going to have to pull a Deshaun Watson if he wants out.
There is Ryan Clark. The bit of the surprise after the game was Aaron Rodgers questioning his future in Green Bay after the loss. Buy or sell, there is zero chance Green Bay will trade Aaron Rodgers.
No, there's no such thing as zero. And remember, he carries with him almost a $40 million cap hit. And the Packers are going to get squeezed just like everyone else is when the cap drops by $22 million. And if Aaron Rodgers is going to get into another, you know, what measuring contest with his head coach, you can force your way out. So zero chance? No. I think he'll be back, but zero chance is no. I don't buy that.
I sell that, too, because Aaron Rodgers can do whatever the hell Aaron Rodgers wants. And if, you know, if he goes to management and says, I'm not, you know, I'm done here, what are they going to do?
Yep. I mean,
put in Jordan Love? What are they going to do? He's like, well, I'm not playing. He holds all the leverage, so he can force a trade for sure.
Yeah.
I think the NCAA is confident that if they can get into the bubble in Indianapolis, that they'll proceed with the tournament, and they have a plan to do that. The challenge is, in order to get into that bubble, you got to test negative 7 times. So you need everybody, all 68 teams, to be good to go at least a week going into that tournament.
Here's Myron Medcalf. I didn't know that, actually. An interesting note that every team that makes the tournament needs every player to test negative 7 times in a row before entering the bubble in Indianapolis for the tournament. Remember last year, the first thing to get canceled was the NCAA tournament from COVID. So buy or sell, we're going to see another canceled NCAA tournament.
I think they're going to find a way to get it done. It may be modified. You may have some teams bow out already. They're saying that if you're a lock to make the NCAA tournament, there's going to be a bunch of teams that are going to bail on their conference tournaments. Louisville has talked about this. I saw there were a couple other teams that had brought it up that just said, I really don't give a damn. We're not risking going to a conference tournament, getting this, and then being, you know, booted out of the NCAAs. But they're saying that the NCAA lost $800 million. Ouch. From the cancellation of the tournament last year. There's no way. They will find some way to shove this thing through to fulfill TV contracts. They cannot have another $800 million loss. You can't. They will play this thing.
I think they'll get it done, too. I just feel like if you're going to go into a bubble, that should work.
Yeah, right. He's got
to
get there.
There's just a lot more variables to it than the NBA's bubble.
Well, you got to get there, and like you said, you alluded to it there in your comments. But you know, there could be some teams that are replaced.
Yeah.
That don't make it to the bubble. That don't get through those 7 days or seven tests. You know, and so they're like, well, we can't play. Well, okay, next man up. They're gonna play it. Like $800 million. They have 800 million reasons to play it, and I think it's smart to do it in a bubble. And I would be surprised if they don't. All right, that is our stock watch. That is what we're buying and selling. From the Weekend in Sports, it's each Monday at 4:15, brought to you by Goldberg Jones. When it comes to divorce, custody, and child support issues, trust Goldberg Jones to help. 1-800-DIVORCE, phone questions answered at no charge. Hey, Tear Gas Teddy needs the police.
Yeah.
How about that?
Well, he needs some mace, too.
See that? Well no, he has mace.
Well, not anymore.
Well, pepper spray. Is that the same thing?
I don't know. It's...
same thing? Tomato?
Sure. But either way, he needs new ones because he's used this.
He emptied his clip yes. on someone. That story coming up next. Here's Mike.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right. Happy Monday. Hot 5 coming up. We've got a lot of Ducks football news. Also, Matthew Stafford maybe headed out of Detroit.
Could be a lot of quarterbacks on the move.
Another Blazer is hurt. It's Monday, right?
Yes, it is.
So another Blazer's hurt.
Yep.
So we'll get to all that, but right now it is January 25th, 2021. It is time for In the News. I am your noted newsman. Today is National Irish Coffee Day, so you can use McGregor's crappy Irish whiskey.
Stick with Jameson, but I don't like coffee, so can I just skip the coffee part? And just drink the Irish whiskey?
Do they do Irish whiskey and hot cocoa by chance?
Can I just have Irish whiskey?
Yes.
Do I need something else to go along with
it? Well, you won't be celebrating the day, but you can do whatever you'd like.
Yeah, can I do a hot cocoa? I've never had that, but I
don't know if they do that.
I suppose that's no different than the Irish coffee.
Hot booze drinks are not my thing.
You know, like a hot toddy occasionally?
I mean, it's okay, yeah. But, you know, not my first choice.
I tend to agree.
I'm a big fan when it's super cold out, and you just go in and you get a hot drink. You're like, delightful.
Mm. See, I like, it's so weird. Well, super hot or super cold out. Like, say you're coming off the mountain, like skiing or whatever.
Yeah.
I think an ice cold beer, that's like the one time where I just love an ice cold beer. That's weird. Mm. You would think I'd want a hot drink.
Something warm.
But no, I want to go to the clubhouse and sit by a fire with a nice cold beer.
I can see that.
That's what I want.
Yeah. It's like when you're, it's like in the wintertime, you have like 17 blankets on you, but you crack the window and you turn on the fan. There's a weird, I get where you're coming from on that.
There's also Bubble Wrap Appreciation Day.
Do love some good bubble wrap. I don't like that Amazon has gone away from the individual bubble wrap. They've just done like the big, they do like big pockets of them now.
Yeah.
Nah, give me the bubbles.
I only tell you this because it's quite good compared to the last few months, but we only had 435 new COVIDs in Oregon today.
Okay.
And two new deads. That's the lowest single day tally of COVID cases since late October.
Hey, look at us. I saw California, too, is easing the statewide restrictions.
I saw Gavin Newsom's lifting the stay-at-home order.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
yeah.
They're
down 20%.
Yeah, hey, look at
us. In terms of COVID infections.
And now, other parts of the country still don't care, but we're doing great.
And I think I saw today that Biden says he wants everyone who wants to get vaccinated to be able to do it by the end of spring. So,
okay.
As he ramps that up, that means we're getting closer and closer.
Hook me up.
I can tell you one area that's being ravaged by COVID right now. Salina, Kansas.
Really?
Yes.
Mm.
They are not... As a matter of fact, I don't think there's anybody left in Salina who has not had the COVID.
Well, I will tell you, Rob, that's the sort of place seemingly that they don't care about it.
Boy, it sure seems that to be true.
Yeah.
Ted Wheeler. Oh, man.
Tear gas Teddy.
Well, look, this guy, remember we talked about the story where he was in the restaurant over there on in Southwest Portland not too long ago and somebody came up and started like flicking his ear and stuff.
Yeah, they pushed him, right? There was a physical altercation.
And they were yelling at him and everything. Well, this happened again. So he was out again last night. He was out dining with former mayor Sam Adams. Mm-hmm. And they were at about 8 p.m. They were at McMenamin's Hillsdale. And, you know,
having some spicy tots, I'm assuming.
Doing their thing.
Why else would you be at a McMenamin's? Maybe a French dip? I don't know.
And a person confronted him and accused him of sitting in a restaurant without wearing a mask, which...
You can sit at a restaurant and you not can wear a mask at your table. I did it this weekend.
So Wheeler and Adams, they were in an outdoor tent, and he leaves. And so this is from the mayor's perspective. He says this was a middle-aged white guy, so you.
Mm-hmm.
And so he left. Wheeler was then followed to his car by this man who was videotaping the interaction. The mayor said, "Hey, back off, fella. I've got pepper spray over here." Mm-hmm.
Did he produce it? Did he have a little one on his keychain like the ladies do?
I don't know, but I did want to ask that question. Like,
how many men?
As a guy, like, is that a little demasculating there?
Maybe, but I guess if you're Ted Wheeler, you're probably out there getting harassed. And,
right, and you can't fight anyone.
No, plus, let's be honest.
And by the way, before you say Ted's a weenie, isn't Ted all ripped?
Is he?
Yeah, he's like pretty in shape.
Okay.
But he can't, like, the guy can't do it. See, that sucks, because he's the mayor, so he has to take the high road at all times.
Yeah.
Right? He cannot get in a fight. He cannot get in an argument. He can't do anything. So these people keep coming at him, so he has chosen to carry the pepper spray. Well, the man refused to back off, and as Wheeler got into his car, the mayor...
Yeah, gave him the business.
Right in the eyes!
Yeah. He said that he did call the police.
Yeah, so now he needs the police.
Yeah.
And they're probably like, oh, interesting, you need us now.
Huh. Defund us now, man.
We'll maybe get back to you. Maybe we won't. He said that the guy had no face mask on, which is ironic. And he got within a foot or two of his face, and he was videoing him, so he thought nothing. He was like, dude, I didn't know what to do. Yeah. So I shot him up.
Well,
with my canister of mace.
I'll just say this. Really, is this where we're at now? We're just whether you like him or not, let the damn man eat in peace. Jeebus, people. Just
well, leave. They did. They waited until after he left.
Leave.
You mean let him get in his car in peace?
Okay, you don't like him. I understand that. Let the guy go to his car.
Oh. No,
call him a bad word and then go about your day. Flip him off. What happened to just a good old middle finger?
Or a big giant F you.
Yeah.
Hey, Wheeler, F you.
All right. You know?
We agree.
Hey. And then, you know, Wheeler gives you, all right. And then you just, you know, do some Italian stereotyping and then go about your day.
According to Oregon law, a person can be charged with unlawful use of pepper spray if the person recklessly discharges it against another person.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't know what, like, if someone's just a foot away from you and is yelling at you, does that, I don't know, can you pepper spray someone?
Well, it sounds like you better make sure it's, well, I don't know. I mean, They're not going to charge Teddy, though. Maybe. I mean, what's he supposed to do, man? People are coming up to him right and left.
I know.
What's he supposed to do? Give me a better way to, if you're him and you're worried, like, you're like,
bring a canister of tear gas.
Bring a gas mask. Put on your gas mask as you walk out these restaurants and have a big rifle of tear gas there.
I just want everyone now, instead of like guns, we're all just going to carry like that bear spray, like in like six guns.
Gas mask?
Just holstered there, ready to go.
What if he carried a knife like Crocodile Dundee?
How about we just
what if he carried
leave
a fake knife?
Each other alone?
A plastic knife?
Yeah, that when it goes into the body, it retracts back into the handle.
Dude, yes.
One of those.
I recommend that, Ted.
Dueling gloves where you can just start slapping people again. Isn't that what, like, back in the day, you just slap someone with your glove?
Yeah,
although,
there you
let's
go.
Be honest, if you slap another man, one of you's got to die. It's like the most insulting thing you can do.
Maybe
is
you
just,
can throw a shoe at him.
There you go. When in doubt, throw a shoe. Or again, leave everyone the hell alone.
There is
well,
that.
How is he supposed to share his opinions about the city if he leaves him alone?
You can yell at someone, leave him alone.
So don't really leave him alone, just yell at him.
Well, and by the way,
good advice.
I'm looking at Wheeler and no.
Leave him alone?
He's not ripped.
I thought he was ripped.
Negative.
And a texter says they are at the same gym as him. No, not ripped.
Not ripped? I thought Teddy was like a, you know.
He's a good looking guy, but no, I've done enough internet research here. No.
No. Not in shape
well,
or just... I mean, I didn't mean like he looks like The Rock or anything, but...
He's not fat, you know.
Yeah.
But no,
you
I...
said ripped.
Look, I did say ripped.
I do not believe. I
thought he had some guns.
I do not believe that he would intimidate anyone shirtless or in some sort of tank top.
Not with that haircut.
Probably not.
All right. Coming up next. Oh, let's talk about more cops. How about this Tacoma cop? Did you see that?
I did see this.
Rushed by a mob.
It's the video.
Oh, wait.
The video is something.
Wait. I've also got late-breaking Portland news.
Oh, what?
Did you see what happened in Southeast Portland today?
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
we got to talk about that. Suddenly a lot to get to. 451 on the Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, in the news, January 25th. A lot going on. We had a big sitch in Southeast Portland today.
Yeah, we had a rogue Honda Pilot.
Yeah. No, it was a Honda Element.
Oh, it was an Element?
Yeah.
Sorry, I got my Hondas mixed up.
You sure did. The Pilot's a nice car. The Element, I don't know why people drive those. Sorry.
That's the box, right?
Yeah, it's the box.
The boxy-looking one.
We had some of those as event cars for a while.
Yeah.
I just don't...
Yeah, I don't know,
I don't like it.
The PT Cruiser was a thing at some point, too. We're, you know.
Right.
The same as the Scion XB. It's literally just a box.
Sometimes things, you know, the trends.
Well, do you know anybody who drives a silver Honda Element?
I do not.
Because they have not released who this person is yet. This driver is in custody. He did run.
Yeah, he tried to go on the lam, but they cheesed him.
But over on Stark Street today in Southeast Portland near Laurelhurst Park, this guy in a silver Honda Element starts mowing people down on the sidewalk.
Yeah, he was doing like an aha video. He hit multiple cars, and what, six people I think he hit? One of them's got life-threatening injuries.
Yeah, well, luckily no one died, at least not yet. One life-threatening and then five others hospitalized.
Yeah, one's in serious trouble, and they say the others are going to be okay, and I think there was one other person that didn't even get... They got hit, but they, like, you know, they were like, I'm all right.
So these are...
This is 11 minutes ago. The person that was seriously injured and in critical condition has died.
Oh God. We spoke too soon. Jinxed him.
Yeah.
Well, that's terrible, but it was six different incidents, or maybe, well, I don't want to say six. There are multiple crime scenes here.
Yeah.
So like this guy just went and hit a couple people and then went back on the street and then saw more people and swerved and hit. And then he finally hit a car at the last spot and banged up his vehicle and then started running. And then two people who are just happened to be in the
the
area tackled him and kept him.
I'll be interested to see, is this a drug and alcohol thing? Was this a, you know, we've seen this in other countries where people do the terrorist thing and they drive into large crowds, but this doesn't seem like it was crowd. It just sounds like he was just driving down the road, like hitting random people.
Yeah.
So I don't know, but it's
brutal.
I mean, it's terrifying. I mean, like you don't necessarily think of that. Like you're like, oh, like, you know, someone got hit by a car, but again, it's a freaking car. I don't know how fast he was going, but that's absolutely terrifying.
No good at all.
No. And that sucks that we were hoping for a better outcome there, but the person succumbed to the injuries.
And finally, Jason, Primetime Tacoma. You may know Tacoma as your... Oh, wait. No, it's not your capital. I was going to say it was your capital, but it's not.
That would be Olympia, my man.
Which is why I said it's not your capital.
The only reason to go to Tacoma is on your way to Seattle. Unless you're maybe going to the Tacoma Dome. I think they're still doing some stuff there.
Not right now, they're not.
No. I saw Iron Maiden at the Tacoma Dome.
Oh, by the way, quick follow-up pertaining to nothing. You know, last week we were talking about my ticket broker buddy?
Yes.
In Kansas City, and you were asking the question, what has that business been like? I mean... You want to talk about somebody impacted by COVID. Oh, yeah. There are literally no tickets to anything being sold. Although now there are a few, you know,
starting to creep
games
back up.
And, well, I mean, there's no concerts or anything, but there are a few sports games and stuff, Super Bowl and things like this. He is selling his business.
Really?
It killed him. Absolutely killed him. So he said he could try to hang on and write a big old fat check, or he can sell it for pennies on the dollar. It's a really sad story. It's one of those where it's a small business.
Yeah, you just don't have a choice.
No choice. Just killed him. Tacoma, there was a cop. There's video of this. And there was a bunch of people up there doing their thing.
Well, they weren't protesting.
What were they doing?
No, they were street racing and then doing cookies.
That's right.
They were spinning out in like the parking lot doing in an intersection doing burnouts. And then a big crowd formed that everyone was cheering them on. But then they were blocking the intersection doing the spinnies or the cookies or donuts, whatever you call them. And then the cops showed up because, well, you can't do that in the middle of the street.
Yeah, so this cop is in his vehicle, and he's rushed by a mob of people.
And it is a good-sized mob.
And so they start kind of, you know, rocking his car.
Beating
and
on the window.
Beating on and kicking his car. And so he drives off. He runs over a guy.
Yep. And it's on, like, he hits a couple people, and they kind of, like, bounce off the hood of the car. But one person, boy, you see in the video, they legitimately get run over by both wheels. It is.
Yeah, and he doesn't stop. He keeps going.
He keeps going.
So I ask you, what's that guy supposed to do?
I don't know, man.
You know?
I don't know.
When that happens, what is he supposed to do?
When you're
surrounded. He's not getting out.
And he said that he was fearful. Obviously, they were going to break his windows. And
well, yeah.
I don't know what you do in that. Like, I understand the people that are mad saying, how dare you run someone over, but I'm with you. I don't know what a cop is supposed to do when you get surrounded by 50, 60, 100 people and they're all banging on the car. I don't know what you're supposed to do.
All right, well. That's in the news.
Yeah, they said they're going to investigate it. And, you know, I don't know what comes of that, but, you know. Guy shows up at a clearly something that's illegal.
I tell you what.
And that happens. I really don't know what you expect him to do.
I'm not trained as a cop, so I know nothing of what I'm talking about here.
Me neither.
But I tell you what I would do, and I would do the same thing that guy did, and that is at least try to get that car out of there. That's my best bet.
Yeah.
Is like these people are angry. I'm going to at least try to slowly get them to part, you know, the seas to part so I can get out of there. And that he did try to do that, but then he kind of
gassed it.
Yeah, he kind of gassed it. And caught somebody on the back end, but I don't know.
It's just it's a bad beat. It's a bad beat.
The only thing is, when you feel that you've just run someone literally over, he kept going
again. But I asked.
Well, he's got an angry mom.
Allow me to.
I'm
to
just
play
saying
devil's
when you
advocate,
feel the clunk clunk.
I understand that, but if you know that you've already got an angry mob that clearly doesn't respect you as a cop, they're surrounding the car and they're beating on you, and you know you just ran one of them over. Do you really think getting out of the cop car at that point? Or stopping your car? I don't think there's a good answer to this question. But I just knowing with no training in that situation, I certainly am not getting out of the car. That can't end well for anybody.
I'm not saying get out of the car. I'm just saying stop finishing the running over of the person that is under your tires.
Cease killing a guy?
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
People saying call for backup. Yeah, he did. He did.
He couldn't wait.
He couldn't wait. They were surrounding and beating on his car.
Yeah. All right. That's it. That's it. We're done.
Stop talking.
That's in the news. A very spirited in the news for January 25th, 2021. The Hot 5 at 5 is next. We've got Oregon football news, multiple pieces of Oregon football news. There is another Trailblazer hurt. And Matt Stafford may be looking for a new home. We'll get to all that next on The Fan.